All right. So welcome everybody who's been able to make it this morning. For those who were not able to make it or cannot stay for the whole presentation, everything will be sent in as an email as well as available in the Discord following the presentation. I expect some more people are going to start rolling in as we get going, but without any further pomp and circumstance, I want to get right into the meat because we have 70 plus slides to go over. A lot of it I'm going to kind of breeze through because it's screenshots of keyword research to help us understand how consumers are behaving right now. That can be reviewed later. Like I said, 73 slides, it's a lot. I want to respect everyone's time. I want to have time for Q&A. As you come up with questions, I have the chat open. You should be able to go ahead and add anything that any questions you have. And toward the end, I will go ahead and dig right into that. Let me go ahead and see. I think I saw chat. Hello. All right. Let's go ahead and just dive right into it. Let's go ahead and share that screen. All right. Let's move this around. All right. Welcome everybody to TTRPG Marketing. For 2023, the goal of today is that we're all going to be able to come away with key insights that can help us do better in 2023. Some of that's going to be very broad. Some of it's going to be very specific. Ultimately, it's going to come down to how you can interpret the information to strategize for what you want to accomplish in 2023. Real quick, let's talk about why I'm even a little bit worth listening to. My name is Zach Applewhite. Some of you probably have come over from my Twitter, from my Facebook, or have been invited by friends. I am a professional marketer. I have a bachelor's in business administration, my specialty being in marketing. I also have experience in the corporate world. For the past couple of years, I've been a search engine optimization strategist, which basically just means I help people get found on Google. On the side, for the past few years, while I was getting my degree, having kids, working two full-time jobs, I was working to build up something. And at first, I didn't know what it was. It was poetry. And then finally, it became TTRPGs, board games, card games are down the line, and now promoting my wife's books. And through those endeavors, I've managed to launch 20 micro Kickstarters, gain a TikTok following, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, lots of others. All right. Let's admit someone else. All this to say that I have a wonderful blend of corporate, professional marketing experience, as well as in the trenches right there with all of you. And the reason I'm here today is because I have been growing all of this next to so many extremely talented creators who unfortunately did not have the marketing experience or degree that I do. And we're stumbling over some of the very basic building blocks of marketing. And I wanted to help them and I tried one-on-one, but I found that I could not do it without distracting my core audience and that I was not getting as far as I wanted to. And so this webinar is the first step to me finding ways to do more for more people. So without any other attention to me, let's move on to the next presentation outline. First, we're going to go over some news and insights of what's happened in 2022 and how we expect to impact it in 2023, followed by market trends, which is basically me using that search engine optimization background to find how consumers are looking for information and what we can glean from that for their behavior. I'm also going to quickly go over some content marketing and branding 101 tips, but I have done podcast guests. I have guested on podcasts on that in the past, and there's a lot of content you can glean from that. So I'm not going to dig in too much here. I'm also hoping to continually educate some of the people who have signed up to this through the Discord, where I hope to interact with all of you more in the future. After all of that, we're going to go through a live Q&A. All right, so let's get into news and insights. All right, look at my fancy graphics, by the way, I'm very proud. All right, first we're gonna talk about Elon, TikTok, Facebook, and the whole social media landscape as far as it's really unstable right now. We're also gonna talk about good things like the D&D movie, Wizard launches, partnerships, and crowdfunding platforms. All right, so let's start off with that social media. If you've come from my Twitter, you know Twitter has been very unstable. I cannot tell you whether or not Twitter is going to be around in 2023, or if it's going to be around, but if it's going to go the way of MySpace. That's remained to be seen. The everyone here needs to understand is that it has been disrupted. The Twitter migration is currently in place. We don't know how long that's going to last or how much it's going to stick, but it's happening. In addition to Twitter's instability, TikTok has come back under fire. We may remember that in 2023, there were a lot of questions around TikTok as a national security. That has come back up. And politically in the United States, both sides of the aisle agree that they don't trust social media. With growing tensions across the globe, both sides of the aisle have been starting to question TikTok again, as it is owned by a Chinese company that would be subject to search and seizures by the Chinese government at any time, as far as I understand. That I'm not a political analyst. This is just my best understanding. And so you need to understand going into 2023 that TikTok may not be around, or at the very least that it is going to come under fire and that it may change. Lastly, Facebook is losing daily average users. What that means is that people are spending less time on Facebook. This is happening at the same time as Facebook growing in ad costs. So less people are spending time on there, and they're increasing their ad costs. This is leading to an overall decrease in value. So with all that information, what are we going to do about it? Here are my recommendations. If you haven't already, start exploring other platforms. All right. My big picks for what's going to win in 2023 is Instagram and Instagram Reels, because unlike Facebook and Twitter, it's a very easy consume. It's all images. It's video. It's a lot simpler and easy to use. YouTube has remained strong for the past decade. And I feel very confident in recommending YouTube. I also believe that community building, one-to-one connection on Discord and similar apps like that are going to be huge, not just in 2023, but moving forward overall. And it is also one of the things that we as smaller people can do that is almost unscalable for the bigger people like Wizards of the Coast or other people you would consider competitors. And it's one of the ways that, as I talk about later in this presentation, new people come in, we can connect with them, we can make them our customers, we can make them our friends, and we can help them grow in the community. I also want to make a note, Tumblr, Mastodon, if you haven't heard about them, go ahead and look up on them. Mastodon's probably the weirdest one, but there's a lot of potential there. I would say there's a 5% chance that it's going to be a big thing in 2023. You're actually probably better off trying to look into Tumblr or the other alternatives that I've already listed. But I want to preface this with a huge but. Main thing I want everyone to think about is growing their email lists, because while all of these platforms can be unstable, Google will deliver your email to who signed up for your email list. Google is never going to not deliver your email, unlike social media platforms where you may have 100 followers, but Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all the social medias will not deliver it on every time to those 100 followers, because they're also following thousands of other people, and they're going to show them what they think is going to be best for their feed so that they will stay on their platform. They are not beholden to you and them and what they've subscribed to. So if you don't want to be beholden to unstable social media or weird algorithm changes, I highly, highly, highly recommend send surveys when people purchase from you. Have a link at the bottom that says, do you want to sign up for our email list? Go to your social media, prompt them, say, hey, if you want to stay in contact with us, stay on our social media list. Even if you leave this platform, we will stay in contact with you there. You can offer what's called a magnet, which is when you offer something free, like a digital map or a free screen thing that you can have on your phone, anything, a coupon. Give that to them and say, if you want it, sign up for our email list. Cannot emphasize this enough. Please, please, please think about your email list strategy going into 2023. So I'm also going to talk about the recession, and I'm going to talk about this with the big caveat of, one, I am not an economic analyst. I am a marketer. Two, even economic analysts do not agree with what kind of recession we're in or how it's going to go. So I'm going to go with, where are we now? Where might we go? And what can we do? It's impossible to predict what's going to happen, but we can prepare ourselves with the information we have and be flexible as new information comes in. Let's go ahead and admit a late arrival. Welcome to the presentation. If you missed something, don't worry. You can always go back and view it in your email or in the Discord. Everything will be sent to you. So here's what's happening with the global recession. All right. Inflation is causing a very odd thing with consumer budgets. I'm also going to preface, I know I have some international people in here. I'm mostly coming from the American perspective. So take everything I'm saying with a big grain of salt. All right. Inflation is a thing. Rising global tensions is a thing. This is leading to very mixed results. Consumer and producers are uncertain. If you're looking for investors, there's a lot of reluctance right now. Most of them are focusing on who they have rather than acquiring new ones. And there's a disillusionment with overall government and big, large corporations, which is a good thing for us in the sense that we get to stand out against the corporations. There's also been an increase in shopping small. There's also been an increase in people coming in as creators, spreading the word about things and side hustling, taking advantage of the opportunity. All right, let's get into the next slide. So how are we going to take advantage of this opportunity ourselves? Number one, I highly recommend digital goods. Shipping has been a horror show since COVID, and I don't expect that to go away. If it goes away, I'm happy, wonderful, but I want you to consider how can you add a digital good into your product line that people can buy to either pad that shipping or save it. I also recommend considering ways that you could only sell products in your country to help mitigate that shipping cost, only offer digital outside of your country. All right. This is something that I've done with Apple White Games as a way to make sure that I have good quality, that I'm doing good branding, that I'm delivering what I've promised. Okay. This is also, I want to preface this with, I have seen this happen every time there's economic uncertainty in small creators, is that you go down on price. Do not go down on price. Go up on quality. Highlight all the things that you can do that those corporations can't. That when someone goes to customer service with you, they're not talking to AT&T customer service, they're talking to you. That is something that you offer that no one else does. People are becoming more willing to pay for small creators. And if you lower your prices, even when things become more economically certain, raising them back up is not going to be an easy thing for you to do. I highly recommend keep your prices as they are and do not lower them. All right. Lastly, as I just talked about, take advantage of your set of your size. You be the good customer service, put in personal touches. You have an opportunity to stand out here as a personal small brand rather than a faceless corporation. Lastly, I do not, this is one of the areas where small company or small business marketing is different than large corporation marketing. Do not spend money on ads that you weren't going to spend before. Okay. This is something that if you look at recession marketing, you're going to hear, oh, ad spend's going to get cheaper and you're going to have all this attention and you should spend money more on ads than before. Not for us. We don't have the ad budget to claim that. And ads costs, as I've seen, have been fluctuating like crazy. Unless you're confident that, hey, what you're doing is already working or that ads are cheaper now than they were in 2019 pre-COVID, I do not recommend increasing your ad budget. Use the other things I've talked about and things I'm going to talk about to gain attention rather than paying for it. So with all of that news, let's talk about something fun. The D&D movie is going to be coming out March 3rd in 2023. And this is going to impact everyone in the TTRPG industry because it's going to bring in new players to the hobby. And like we've seen in the past, when new players enter the hobby, they have their own ideas of what D&D is or should be, or what any TTRPG is or should be. They're going to be looking to immerse themselves in the community, in all the platforms. They're going to be looking to buy dice, DM screens, dice towers, art, everything. All right. They're going to be looking for a welcoming community and educational materials. This is where we as creators can step in. We can offer those products. We can offer them that education. We can offer them that community. We also need to be there as guardians against the gatekeepers who are not going to like all the new people. All right. And to that note, I want to add that against gatekeeping, I believe that all tides raise the ships. Okay. Rising tides raise all ships. Sorry about that. All right. Meaning that as new players come in, as new businesses, new creators come in, all of this serves to make the whole pie bigger. And I do believe we're all going to have a slice. I want you to look back at what Star Wars did for sci-fi, what Lord of the Rings did for fantasy. If D&D isn't mainstream in 2022, it's going to become mainstream in 2023 and only grow from there. And I want us to all be prepared for that. All right. This is one of those slides where you're going to see a lot of these screenshots, and I'm going to skip over them. All right. Because they're really detailed. But I want to explain how to read them so that when I do skip over them, if you want to go back and really dig into the data, you know how to look at it. So what I want you to see here is this is keyword research. What keyword research is it's when people are typing something into Google, what are they typing? What are they looking for? And then we get to find out why and what it means. So to just kind of gauge interest, you see that the D&D movie, 1 to 10,000 people are searching that average monthly. That's gone down in the past 3 months. We understand that's normal because the D&D movie was announced probably around 3 months ago. So you would expect that to go down. But you can see that there is a lot of good interest here, all right? And that should tell you that I expect the D&D movie to be fairly successful, okay? Let's also talk about the D&D releases that are announced in 2022. We can see here one D&D, very stable interest. All right. It's only growing in interest. A note that I found from my research is that Google is confused by the difference between one D&D and a D&D one shot. All right. So this is a very important thing for you to understand for your content. If you use the word one shot when talking about one D&D, you might accidentally capture people looking for D&D one shots. They go to your blog about one D&D and then they see it's not about one shots and then they're going to leave. That's going to give you a high bounce rate, which makes Google think that your content is wrong. Not that Google is wrong. It's going to think your content is wrong. So I highly recommend avoiding using one D&D and D&D one shots in the same piece of content. Okay. Here's some of that keyword research. Like I said, we're going to kind of skip over this to respect everyone's time. It's all in the slide deck and the email after the presentation. Spelljammer. Some diminishing interest over the past 3 months, which is as to be expected. But just like one D&D, there is a very strong amount of interest. I expect it to do very well in 2023. And we'll also see that some other keyword research that the races and ancestries from Spelljammer are doing very, very well for 2023. Here's some of that keyword research you can look at later. Dragonlance, probably to no one's surprise here, definitely less interest. However, a note here is that it's very stable. If you're looking for an area to get into that has a very stable, committed audience, Dragonlance might be your way in. It might be a good niche for you to break into the industry, get a very loyal following, and then you can always expand outward or to expand whatever you have now by adding Dragonlance as something to target. Here's some of that keyword research. Let's also talk about Wizards Bot D&D Beyond. I was very interested by this because I wanted to know what people were going to react to. Were they going to flock elsewhere because they didn't want Wizards to own D&D Beyond? Or were they going to be more interested in D&D Beyond? I am personally worried that while D&D is committed to increasing virtual tabletop digital assets and making D&D Beyond even better, that also probably means that they're going to charge us for all of that, which may give more opportunity to Roll20 and other helpful content that people want to acquire for low cost or free. But that remains to be seen, just something to think about going into 2023. I do want to look at the keyword research to answer that question. Are people worried? Are they flocking elsewhere? No. The keyword research makes it very clear that they are not flocking to Roll20 or other competitors. Consumers are either not aware that Wizards bought D&D Beyond or they don't care. However, of course, if those paywalls come up, I would expect that behavior to at least change a little bit. Here's some of that keyword research you can dig into later. Let's talk about virtual tabletop set to launch in 2024, which gives us a lot of time to think about and learn more about this. Wizards is going to try and use virtual tabletops to make virtual D&D more immersive, more entertaining, and this offers everyone an opportunity. It offers an opportunity for all my actual play podcasters to use those tools to make it more entertaining for the people who are watching or listening. It also provides a market opportunity for tech-savvy individuals, assuming that the virtual tabletop becomes something that people can create maps and characters for. Excellent opportunity. It also offers an opportunity that this may grow digital dungeon mastering, which means anyone selling digital materials has an opportunity to sell more and target those areas. We can see that from the research that there is very solid interest. There's also not a lot of competitors in this space. So if you want to spend 2023 on virtual tabletop, knowing that it's going to launch 2024, so that when it launches, you're one of the primary resources that people turn to, that might be a good strategy for you. Lego. I'm so excited about this. D&D and Lego started a competition. It's running until December 19th for people to build Lego sets inspired by D&D, and for people to then those Legos will become actual D&D sets. What this is that it's testing market viability for Lego sets, movies, and other TTRPG releases that Lego might be interested in. Lego may be using this as an opportunity to learn more about the TTRPG space so that they can make a play, which I would be very excited about. Lastly, my biggest thing that I hope to come from this is family gamers. My kids love Lego, and I would be ecstatic to start playing D&D and TTRPG-centered Lego adventures with them. And I'm very, very, very hopeful that this will make D&D and other TTRPGs less of a in-the-basement connotation and more of a family aspect, which also grows the market. And I wanted to, going into the keyword research, I wanted to see what people were doing about this. Of course, interest has grown out of this becoming an announcement. But you can also see that consumers have been wanting this for a very long time. This is not new. And as people are looking for D&D minis, D&D maps, terrains, and build sets, there's an excellent opportunity for anyone who wants to capitalize on this merger and target the families who are going to be coming into this. Some other ideas of how you can incorporate this into whatever it is you're doing. You could look at using reselling Lego, or partnering with someone who does as a way of capturing that market who's interested. And then, by the way, we also do this other thing, point them to your other stuff. You can make TTRPG materials with Lego in mind. You can talk about it in your content. You could do podcast episodes of a Lego one shot, or you can sell build instructions or partner with someone who does as another way of capturing people who are just interested in the Lego side, but then you sell them on that TTRPG side. Let's also switch over into crowdfunding platforms. There was a lot of shifts here. All right, keyword research out the gate. Kickstarter is leading the pack by far. But an interesting thing here is that GameFound and PackerKit, which are very TTRPG centered, especially GameFound, of course, are board game, tabletop game centered, are just as popular as the whole of Indiegogo, all right? Which means that, one, Indiegogo probably shouldn't be on your radar. If you're in the gaming industry, just take it off your radar. Go with the other three. But two, that is huge for BackerKit and GameFound, that they, on their specializations, may be able to overtake one of the crowdfunding giants. Here is some more of that, that kind of shows that, like, whether or not people are searching specifically for D&D Kickstarter, TTRPG Kickstarter, and the others, Kickstarter is right now the fan favorite and will probably be similar going into 2023. I expect a little bit of change, but not much. And so if you're looking at where to launch first, and also personal experience, easiest place to launch, Kickstarter should be on your radar. Let's talk about Kickstarter, because they've had their own changes going on. They have a new CEO. He has a background in marketing, and it shows. He recently, if you've ever been on Kickstarter, you know that you can search for projects, and you see a big feed of projects. You see about 3 to 4, and then it just keeps going. What's changed now, what's launching now, is that when you have a preview project, which you would normally share with your existing audience as a way to sign on to the to be notified of launch, even if you don't have that audience, the Kickstarter audience, when scrolling, may see your project and preview it and sign up. This offers an opportunity for anyone doing a Kickstarter to grow a following beyond what they have already grown, which is huge. It remains to be seen for Kickstarter whether or not positive changes like this are going to continue, whether or not the CEO is going to continue to focus on equipping creators to attract new and existing backers. It's worth keeping an eye on. One thing I can note is that the fact that there's a new CEO and a little bit new direction in Kickstarter, consumers don't seem to care or know about it. And so there's probably not going to be a huge change based on who the CEO is, unlike Twitter. With that, we have completed the news and insights portion. I'm going to take a drink of coffee. If you have any questions, go ahead and put them in the chat. And we're going to get through this, get through the 101s, and then we're going to get through the Q&A. Let's just open up that chat real quick. Yes, I do see the international micro Kickstarter. Real quick, I'll talk about what a micro Kickstarter is. A micro Kickstarter is anything under $1,000 as your funding goal. It's a really easy way. When I first did Kickstarter, I did it for a $1 goal. I was selling poems for $1. You can't do that anymore. You have to have at least a $10 or $25 minimum funding goal, but it's an excellent way to get your foot in the door and test the market for your ideas. With that, let's go into market trends. One thing I want to preface this with is these are trends. I do not recommend you building your entire strategy on a trend. Okay. What this is meant is to influence ongoing strategy. If you're a D&D artist, I'm going to tell you what the most popular classes and race/ancestries are. And maybe you'll do more of those classes and ancestries. You might make more minis. You might target dice that way. But you should not say, oh, this is the most popular class. I'm going to only build things around this class. Please do not. Use it to influence what you have going and don't go down the rabbit hole of chasing trends. Okay. With that, let's get into it. What we're going to cover, most popular class, most popular race/ancestry. I wanted to see if people are more interested in becoming a dungeon master to show if we're growing or not, what the market around professional dungeon mastering is, whether or not we're seeing an early introduction of that kid-focused, family-focused D&D, some tools, podcasts, conventions, dice, maps, art, all of the trends around those. Let's get into it. So first, most popular D&D classes coming at the top, fighter, warlock, paladin. Second most popular classes, wizard, sorcerer, monk, cleric, druid, artificer. At the bottoms, we have ranger, barbarian, bard, rogue, and blood hunter, probably to no one's surprise, at the very, very bottom. All right. Overall, these popularities have been very stable. All right. And I wanted to make a note to give the least amount of attention to anything that hasn't gained popularity in the past 3 months. You can kind of see that in this data here. So for example, we see that fighter has gained popularity in the past 3 months. Paladin has gained popularity in the past 3 months. Warlock hasn't. So even out of these top three, I recommend going for fighter and paladin content versus warlock, though that should still be in the runner because it's still in the top three, even if it's not growing. Most popular subclasses, fighter and rogue, warlock, paladin, wizard, monk are the second, sorcerer, cleric, ranger, bard, artificer. Not sure if this is going to be useful for anybody. I just find this stuff interesting. I'm really surprised that subclasses rogue is the top, and very sad to see cleric and druid, as I am a cleric and druid main. But we'll move on from there. All right. Race and ancestry. Far and away. Dragon, tiefling, Goliath, Asimir, Warforged, Goblin, Changeling, Kobold, Bugbear. Quick note, Goblin, Changeling, Kobold, Bugbear are also monsters that typically are fought, not races that are typically played. I take those with a huge, huge, huge grain of salt. Let's focus on that. Dragon, Tiefling, Goliath, Asimir, Warforged are far and away the most popular. everything else is basically equal. I could not search dwarf. Google ads, when you're keyword researching, doesn't let you search everything because it worries about people's privacy and misusing information. So your guess is as good as mine. I will also say that overall, spell jammers are way more popular. And that's probably a good race ancestry thing to look into. Here's some of that keyword data. Like I said, all this is going to be in your email. We're going to kind of skip over this. There's a lot of good stuff that you can look through. All right. Now let's talk about dungeon masters. Are people more interested in becoming dungeon masters, and what are they interested in? We see that there's a great keyword cluster with very reasonable, steady demand on becoming a dungeon master. This bids well for the whole community, as it shows that there is a steady stream of interest of people getting into the hobby at the very top level. And it offers an excellent opportunity for content creators educating those new dungeon masters, especially as I think 2023 is going to continue to grow that trend. Professional dungeon master has very mixed results. If you're looking to be a pro DM, it is basically equal demand versus supply. Lots of people are interested in hiring one. Lots of people are interested in being one. If this is something that is your goal, I don't recommend going for just this. I recommend infusing this with another product, such as selling modules or having an actual play podcast. All right. I'll also note that this is U.S. demand, does not reflect national or worldwide demand, and does not reflect local demand. For example, if you're in San Diego, California, there might be greater demand for Dungeon Master near me than there is in Mentor, Ohio. All right. So keep that in mind, that you may have better or worse luck depending on your location. D&D for kids, again, because of the Google ad protections, they don't want people to misuse information. I had to do something roundabout, which is Google Trends, which is one of the tools I have in a slide that you can access on your own. What it does show is that over the past 5 years, this has grown. Right now, that trend I'm hoping from LEGO, where more families and more enthusiasm about playing TTRPGs with kids come in, we're not seeing that yet. We'll have to see, but it's not there yet. It's an average about 50 monthly searches, and that is for the whole US. So it's there, but it's not really, really big yet. All right, let's talk about some of the TTRPG tools. What I mean by these tools are things like DriveThruRPG, DMs Guild, Roll20, Virtual Tabletop, Discord, and all of that. There were a lot of surprises here. There has been no change, pretty much. Very little change on all of these tools, even online gaming, which I found to be very interesting. One of the good things we can see, all right, and I'll talk about that in a second, actually. So here you'll see the keyword research, very strong for Roll20 and D&D Beyond, DMs Guild, Drive-Thru. People are interested in purchasing, but there's no change. If you look at the 3 month and the year over year, there's no change in the interest here, okay? I expect that to be a little different in 2023, but we'll see. The D&D alternatives, I wanted to see if people were becoming more interested in other TTRPGs. There is interest. It's not like huge, but it's there. All right. And there is a not so small cluster around sci-fi as well, and it's actively seeking alternatives. Specifically, Warhammer takes the cake. Pathfinder, Starfinder, Shadowrun, Vampires of the Masquerade are all pretty much equal. You'll see there below, there's some least favorites, but it all has steady. It hasn't increased, it hasn't decreased, but it's all steady. Sci-fi genres do seem to be probably seeing the most growth. There's expanded data that I didn't get a chance to share here. Let's see, free products are actually, let's see if I can find that here. Like coupon, homebrew, I might not have the right screenshot, but trust me that more people are looking for less free products on DMs Guild and similar areas, which bodes very well for us because it does mean that consumers are starting to understand that what we create is worth paying for. All right. TTRPG podcasts. The market is developing. People are figuring out, they're becoming connoisseurs of D&D and TTRPG actual play podcasts. All right. I will note there that if you have a podcast, be specific, because people are being specific with what they're searching for. So do not call yourself a TTRPG podcast. The search volume for that is bottom of the barrel low. Call yourself a Call of Cthulhu, a Vampire of the Masquerades, a Dungeons and Dragons. And if you want to play all kinds of TTRPGs, call yourself Dungeons and Dragons and then just expand from there. All right. Because TTRPG, as you'll see from the keyword search data, there is not a lot of search around that. Their search for best D&D is by far the winner. Looking for dark, looking for funny. People are being very specific. Looking for Warhammer, looking for Starfinder. Again, very specific. People know what they're looking for. Call of Cthulhu, very strong. All right. And so that those are the notes for all my podcasters there. Again, you can look at the expanded data when I send it to you. Friendly local game stores. Steady demand. There is interest in people playing TTRPGs in friendly local game stores. And looking at this, right on the level of like Friday Night Magic near me is the same amount of search as Warhammer store near me and board game shop near me. All right. So that Friday Night Magic that has been the stable way of bringing people in, consider Tuesday night Warhammer miniature painting. I'm very serious here. It's an excellent opportunity. And if you didn't know, Pokemon cards are huge. Make sure you're carrying those while you're at it. All right. Let's talk about conventions. I could not look up PAX. Not sure why Google wouldn't let me do that one. But I can tell you that Origins, which is here in Ohio, and I'm very sad to say this, has had less overall interest. And so if you got to pick between Gen Con, Dragon, and Origins, put Origins probably off your list as a vendor, because Gen Con and Dragon Con are seeing much more PAX. Your guess has to be as good as mine. I must have mixed up here. Friendly local. Oh, no, it just went backwards. There we go. Dice. Just like the podcast, people are being more specific about what they want with dice. Specifically, if you're not using D&D dice set, even if you want to capture all TTRPGs, D&D is where the search volume is. So D&D dice set, very popular, much more popular than just calling it polyhedral dice set. Okay, I will say that people are very interested in metal dice and custom dice, all right, gemstone dice also, but metal has the biggest cluster. You'll see it's here twice, all right, both metal dice and metal dice set, all right, so it has more overall search volume. If you're not in metal dice, get into metal dice, okay? TTRPG art. Just like everything else, the market's developing. People are becoming more specific about what they want. All right. There is steady demand. All right. It's even growing in some areas. They're largely searching by class and by what location they want them to be in. All right. Let's take a look in here. Oh, nope. It's going backwards again. All right. So you'll see like wizard art, monk art. Some of the races and ancestries are in there as well. They're very interested in finding their specific class and race mixture. Some of the other things that I wanted to talk about was maps. All right. Terrain is the most important thing when creating a map. Make sure you're listing what terrain it is. Don't just say battle map. All right. And don't say big, scary, spooky battle map. Say dungeon battle map. Say tavern battle map. Okay. Use that first. That will help you get found by more people. All right. They're being very specific with what kind of maps they're looking for. And there is more interest this time of year than there has been last year. Here, look at this D&D basement map. Look at the year over year. It's way more interest. Okay. Infinity means they don't really know. A lot of this is new. A lot of this is developed in 2022. In 2022, maps became a bigger thing and people are being very specific. Sky maps, blacksmiths, casino. Be specific, be creative, create packets within these top ones, and I expect that you're going to see more interest and that there's definitely a market out there to buy from you. All right, minis. Unfortunately, this is an area that is not seeing a lot of growth. There is an overall downward trend but competition is increasing. If you're looking for an area to get into TTRPGs in 2023, just know that if you're going into minis, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle. So maybe consider what other products and services you might be able to add, such as those dice we just talked about, those maps we just talked about. All right. Consider doing those. Also, you might not want to invest in miniatures that are going down in this sector, all right, which you can kind of see over here. But overall, year over year, we're going down. All right, there's some more information. And we finished off that portion. Zach gets another cup of coffee. This is the shortest portion, the content marketing and branding portion. All right, and after that, we're going to get to the Q&A. I expect this portion to take less than 15 minutes. And I know that you're sick of my face by now. So let's get into it. All right. So like I said, I've talked very extensively about this in podcasts, which will have the links to in your emails and in the Discord. So I'm going to go over this pretty quickly, but I wanted to explain what we're going to talk about in content marketing and branding. I'm going to give you some quick one-on-ones, some quick wins, and some helpful tools to help you accomplish your goals. With content marketing, all right, which is basically just creating things for people to find you, consume, get to know, and eventually get to that purchase. It's called a funnel, okay? Is that you capture people's attention with content, and then you lead them into the place where they can buy from you, all right? The best way to do this is to repurpose whatever content you have. The way I grew my TikTok was not by making tons of trendy videos. I didn't dance a single step, and I did not chase all the audio things. I had been tweeting, all right, whenever I had a free moment in between my jobs and kids and projects, I would tweet once a day. And when I went over to TikTok, I just read my tweets. And with that, I've gotten 14,000 followers. The same thing can be applied all over the place. If you have a blog, read the blog. It's a video. Take the audio. It's a podcast. If you have a video, take the audio, transcribe it. Now it's a blog. All right. Take it apart, move it into smaller pieces, tweet those out, Facebook posts, take quotes. There's a lot of opportunity you can do there. Think about it like a Cadillac in a chop shop. The sum of the parts is greater than the sum of the whole. Start taking it apart and spread it around. All right. I will put this with the caveat of don't do it all at once. I am not on every platform. I am not creating content for every platform. All right. I started with Twitter because that's what I could manage while I was working two jobs and raising two kids and a full-time college student. Okay. And trying to be a good human while I'm at it. All right. I could not have done everything I'm doing now. And right now I'm still a full-time employee and I have kids. I have family. I have obligation. I have my projects. I have this time with you. I still do not have the time and bandwidth to do everything. And so my caveat with this is don't try to do everything. Do what you can do sustainably, consistently, because that's what's going to matter most. But at the end of the day, what this will do for you is give you more content and more places so that you can get more people to promote yourself to. All right. Some of the quick wins I recommend for that, screenshot the posts that you make on Twitter, Reddit, Tumblr, post them on Facebook. I don't know why screenshots of tweets do so well on Facebook, but I've done it and some of my tweets have gone viral for it. And the interactions you get on, if I say, hey, what's your favorite D&D class on Twitter? And I screenshot it and post it to Facebook, I will get literally hundreds of comments in the right groups. But that same post, if I just put the text into the Facebook group, I would get 12 comments. All right. Don't know why it works, but I promise it works. I've been doing it for the past year or two. All right. You can then, if you post that to your Facebook page, invite people in other Facebook groups when they like your stuff. All right. Kickstarter, which is, I just wanted to squeeze this in. If you haven't done a Kickstarter before, do the timed early birds, not the limited amount of early birds. Okay. So instead of saying 20 people can get the early bird, say everyone in the first 24 hours can get the early bird. Trust me, it makes everything better. Try to include your shipping and cost rather than passing it on to the consumer, and do the add-ons if you have additional products. You can look at more into that as you get into Kickstarter. I don't have time to go over all the nicks and crannies today. The last thing I want to talk about with content marketing is experiment. Try new things. You don't know if people want to see pictures of your dog until you post pictures of your dog every other day for a month, and then you can evaluate it. I would have never known that the Twitter thing would work. I would have never learned if I hadn't experimented with talking about anime on my TikTok. I wouldn't have known that there was a huge crossover between people who like anime and people who like TTRPGs. And I gained a lot of followers by just talking about anime, by trying something new for 3 videos. And it took like 3 or 4 videos for that to become a thing. And it really helped me grow. And that was after I'd been doing it for a year. Please experiment and try new things. There's no such thing as pure failure. You can always learn from it. All right. Branding. Let's talk about it. What is it? It's just reputation. It is what people say about you when you're not in the room. All right. And it's not what you say about yourself. Okay. Because what you say about yourself is all nice and dandy. AT&T thinks they're the greatest company in the world. But when I'm on their customer service line, I know the truth. Okay. So when you're thinking about your branding, don't just think about how you present yourself. Think about how you show up, what you do. Because when branding hits best isn't before the sale. Branding doesn't help you make the sale. Marketing helps you make the sale. Branding helps them come back. Okay, branding is not disappearing once you've made the sale, once you've funded the Kickstarter. How many people disappear after their Kickstarter has been funded, show up 6 months later with my product, and then say, by the way, now give me more money? Okay, I haven't heard from you in 6 months. Why would I give you more money? All right, you got to reintroduce yourself and double your work all over again. Good branding, stay in touch. Okay, I'll also make this is that you're going to make mistakes. We have an excellent opportunity here as small creators to be very forward with our mistakes. Talk to people as people, not as a corporation. Be personal. That's your advantage. All right. Some branding quick wins. Know your voice. Okay. Who are you talking to and how do you want to talk to them about it? One of the things that we use in marketing is called a buyer persona, which is what is your ideal customer? Think about it like a buyer NPC. Who is the ideal person that you want to sell to? Okay, real quick touch on whether or not you have a logo or your face. It really depends on your strategy and your content. Okay, if you are a podcaster and you never want to sell your podcast, you probably want your face on there. If it's just you, if it's a group of people, go ahead and go for the logo. All right. This is something that kind of is about how personal do you want to be? If you want people to know your name, you should also want them to know your face is the general policy. All right. You should have a written policy on how you're going to handle mistakes. This will help you hold yourself accountable that when you say, oh no, I accidentally had a misprint. All right. How are you going to handle that? Write that down first, because in the moment, your lizard brain's going to be active. You're going to be afraid. You're going to be self-judgmental like you've never been before. And you're going to want to stick your head in the sand and just try and shoo it all away. And that's the worst thing you could do. And trust me, I've been there. I've wanted to put my head in the sand. By writing that down, the kind of brand you want to be when mistakes happen makes it more likely that you're going to be able to do that. And then when you communicate with people about your mistakes or anything else, do so with purpose. Do not do so haphazardly. If you want, don't type it out in 20 seconds and hit send. Give it the full minute. Give it the full 60 seconds. If you don't have 60 seconds right then, let it wait if it can wait. Okay. And just like marketing, try new things. You don't know if people want to see pictures of you eating tacos until you try. Try new things. All right. I'm not going to go over everything in this. This is a lot. You're going to get this. It's also all in the Discord. Okay. These are tools and platforms that I have personally found as helpful. Content research, that stuff like keywords and SEO, a lot of what I've talked about today. All right. Content distribution is helping you get your content out there in different ways. This is more search engine optimization stuff. It's very technical. If you're interested in it, you can go look at it. For websites, I recommend WordPress if you're doing big technical websites. But if you're just selling stuff online, you're just doing e-commerce, I recommend Shopify. And these are some other things that I have found very useful in creating. With that, we are finally, what happened there? Oh, I clicked on a link. Okay. With that, We are finally at our Q&A portion. All right, thank you all for coming this far. Let's go ahead and get into it. If you have questions, please share them with me. I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing my screen. If I can figure out how. How do I move this? All right, I'm just going to keep sharing the screen because I can't figure out how to do it otherwise. All right. Does Zach freeze periodically? I hope I'm not freezing for everybody. The good news is this is a recording and you're all going to get the recording afterward. A caveat with emails getting shunted into promotional tab with Gmail. Yes, that will happen. And spam will happen. So it is not perfect. I still do consider it better than social media. Why no blogs on the platform? The indie RPG scene was largely born from blogs. I'd recommend Substack so you get the best of blogs growing an email list at the same time with the option of monetization. KM, honestly, great feedback. I appreciate it. I did not look into D&D blogs. That's not a space I typically go in. I'm going to make a note that in the future, I'm going to focus D&D blogs into the research. All right. So thank you so much for that insight. As I said, internationally, I understand that inflation's going to be different. Recession's going to hit different. I recommend being as flexible as possible. Roll 20, one bookshelf essentially merged at this point. We haven't heard about the 1D&D having any sort of OGL at this point. How concerned are you about this? So the thing is that I've always worked to sidestep one bookshelf and stuff like that. I've always gone direct to consumer, mostly out of selfishness of people wanting to take a slice of the money when I make a sale. I hate that. So I'm currently selling everything on my own website. So for me personally, I'm not too concerned about it. I do see that the landscape is continuing to change. I kind of recommend, and this might be biased because it works for me, I kind of recommend people looking at other ways to sell their materials rather than just putting themselves on the shops like DM's Guild at DriveThruRPG. Also remains to be seen whether Kickstarter is going to follow through on their flirtation with blockchain. I hope they don't. Personally, I hope they don't. If nothing else, the consumer disinterest in blockchain. And with cryptocurrency's connection to blockchain and cryptocurrency crashing recently, I really don't think it would be smart for them to focus on the blockchain. I've already answered the micro Kickstarter question. Remains to be seen if people getting into TTRPGs separate D&D, making D&D alternative not the optimal search term. May not be the optimal search term, but it was a way to get insights into how people are behaving. I will say that just generally speaking, I think the consumer journey when you get into D&D is that you find out that there's other stuff and you find people in D&D and they tell you and you look at other options and you run across all these podcasts and platforms and people say, Shadowrun, what's Shadowrun? So I do expect that to change, to continue to grow as people get it into D&D in general. They're going to become more immersed and knowledgeable of other TTRPGs. Indie RPG scene wasn't represented in alternative, seems to be growing. Indie's a good one. That's another keyword I can look into alongside D&D blogs is indie D&D. The problem with doing this research is that it's really easy to go down rabbit holes and I had to keep myself controlled. I ended up with 70 plus slides. I only wanted 30. So it's really easy to get out there. Shipping rates are so variable. Agreed. I've widely heard recommendations to not include shipping and pledge cost for fear of getting absolutely wrecked between the hike of campaign and fulfillment. I get that. Personally, I have done everything I can to include shipping and price because everyone's been recommending that people don't include shipping with price on Kickstarter. And then people are paying $20 for a product and then paying $10 to $20 in shipping. and they lose their mind. They're so upset by it. And whether or not you were transparent about that, they are not going to read everything you put out there. They're still going to be upset. And so while it is an option, for some people, it may be the only option. I want you to consider it a calculated risk for your branding and customer satisfaction, because whether or not you deliver your product, if they're unhappy because they ended up paying $40 for something they only wanted to pay $20, I don't want to, I personally have made the choice not to do that if at all possible. I also think that it deters people nowadays who have experienced that from backing it all, because now it's a risk assessment for them rather than just trying to support a small creator. Could you please explain the opportunity of TikTok? So while TikTok is unstable, the opportunity is there. And each time, last time, people were all worried about whether or not TikTok was going to be a big thing. A lot of people left and then they all came back. All right. Here's the interesting thing that happened with TikTok. Okay. TikTok becomes huge in COVID. And you see people doing follow for follow in order to gain their audiences. And they only gain like 3,000 followers. And they had a hit video. They got 50,000 views on one of the first 10 videos they posted. But then they kept posting and nothing happened. All right. But here's the interesting thing, is that they stopped being creators and they stayed around as consumers. So while there's less creators on TikTok, the consumers continue to grow. So there's an excellent opportunity because the supply is smaller than the demand. I, again, highly recommend you not trying to set up big skits or dances or whatever. TikTok hates hard work is a kind of saying within the community. Just try sharing ideas. If you have ideas for D&D weapons, show some of your maps, show some of your dice. Literally, you can make a channel of you just rolling dice. Just roll and that's it. And then have your buy link in your bio. All right. If you created 100 videos of you rolling 100 different dice sets, I think you would get more attention than you'd think possible. All right. I would ask people to consider anything but Substack due to Substack's platforming prominent transphobes. I am not aware of that, but thank you, Mike, for adding that into the conversation. What metrics do you use to assess the success of your marketing efforts? Oh, that's such a good question, Christopher. So the way I assess my marketing efforts is dollars, because those are the most important. It's really, really easy to get locked up into vanity metrics like impressions. Consider impressions when you're driving down a highway and there's all these billboards around. That's an impression. Did you read the billboard? Did you recognize the billboard? Did you stop your car and stare at the billboard? Probably not. All right. But on the internet, you doing this, me doing this, all impressions. Okay. I didn't even see your name. I didn't even read the words. That's an impression. It's a vanity metric. Vanity meaning it's really good because it's a really high number, but it means almost nothing. Likes, I enjoy seeing. Okay. It helps me know that my audience is working. That's more of a content metric than I consider a marketing metric. Same with followers and comments. That's more about an audience metric than a marketing metric. At the end of the day, what matters is whether or not I've been able to convert that audience into a buyer. All right. And so the end all be all metric is money. All right. And that's what, if you're not making money yet, use those other metrics. Use your followers as probably your primary metric. Use your email list as your primary metric, and then use followers next, and use comments and shares next. Okay. Likes are cheap. Impressions are worthless. Comments are an opportunity to engage with your audience. And I'll leave that with comment on every comment. If they're commenting, engage with them every time, please. I don't always succeed at this, but I want that to be a goal for myself and everyone going into 2023. With that, we are at the end of the live Q&A portion. Thank you all so much for stopping by. It has been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to sending all of this in the email, and I really want to see you all on Discord, because believe it or not, I have even more on Discord. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you, Kay. This has been amazing. And if you have bigger, deeper questions, the Discord, like I said earlier, I can't do this all the time. I can do this once a year, maybe once a quarter. Okay. But I can be in a Discord. And when I come across new news information tools, I can put it over there and you can help each other and you can help me. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you all in there. I front loaded some content and it's finally, how did I do on time? It's 11. I am awesome. All right. It's 11 o'clock. Thank you all for the hour. I will see you in the Discord. Thank you and have an excellent day.